This is Finding Center, a daily half hour of spiritual focus. Today on Finding Center, we'll hear an Ensign College campus devotional address by Elder Richard Maines titled Making and Acting Upon Inspired Decisions. It was given February 3rd, 2026.
What a pleasure it is for me to share a few thoughts that I hope will be a benefit to you. I've put a considerable amount of time and effort into pondering what might be of utmost importance to you at this crucial time in your lives. You are all in the process of making critically important decisions that will have lasting impact on the rest of your lives. Therefore, I'd like to focus my remarks on the process of making and acting upon inspired decisions. Our loving Heavenly Father has given each of us many wonderful gifts to help us succeed during our mortal life's journey. I would submit that the two most important gifts our Father in Heaven has given us are described in the following scriptures. The first gift is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the first great gift from Heavenly Father to all of us is his Son, Jesus Christ. The second great gift is found in 1 Nephi 10:17. I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him. So the second great gift from Heavenly Father to each of us is the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is interesting to me that the greatest gifts Heavenly Father has given his children in this mortal life are the other two members of the Godhead. The second great gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost, is of importance, paramount importance to us as we look for inspiration in decision making. To illustrate the importance of the gift of the Holy Ghost, I would like to refer to one of the most quoted statements from President Nelson's ministry, which was shared during the April 2018 General Conference. You might have memorized this quote. In coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost. Each of us should take this prophetic counsel and warning very seriously. I would suggest that especially you, the young adults, should take this counsel extremely seriously. Why would I say this? From my vantage point as a senior citizen, I can look back and make a few observations regarding my life experiences at your age. I will share what I learned from them and how they might be of some benefit to you. I have observed that throughout our lives, we are constantly making decisions that affect our ability to stay on the covenant path. We recognize the covenant path as the straight and narrow path referred to in the scriptures. Think of all the decisions you're about to make as forks in the road. To stay on the covenant path, you must choose the right fork, the one that keeps you moving in the right direction. Some of these forks in the road represent major milestone decisions which will have eternal consequences. However, each day we come upon small forks in the road that required inspired decisions on our part. Decisions which, when made correctly, will keep us securely on the covenant path. If made improperly, they could nudge us to the fringes of the path. How will you decide which fork you should take? Make it easy on yourself. Will this decision keep me securely on the covenant path or lead me astray in some other direction? Another observation about your generation is something I consider worth remembering. Many of the most important decisions you will ever make in your life, which will have an incredible impact on your entire life, will be made when you are young. Having the advantage of age, I can look back on my life and see the impact of decisions I made when I was young that have stayed with me my entire life. I will name a few of these decisions that stand out to me. First, I decided to serve a full-time mission. Second, I decided I would do my absolute best while serving a full-time mission. Third, I decided when I returned home from my mission, I would pursue an education and subsequently a career in international business. Four, I decided to find a worthy companion to marry in the temple. Five, I decided to keep my temple recommend current and valid. Six, I decided to always be true to the covenants I made in the waters of baptism and the temple. Seven, I decided I would always accept church callings and assignments and fulfill them to the best of my ability. You might recognize the goals I set for myself when I was young as some of the same issues you are dealing with today. Isn't it interesting and important for you to understand that the decisions you make in your youth, the choices you have made and will make, will have such a significant impact on the rest of your life? Because of this, it is extremely important that we all follow the counsel of President Nelson and strive to be inspired by the Holy Ghost in making these decisions. We need to be worthy of and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Ghost all day, every day. Then, as we encounter forks in the road, we will be able to act on the inspiration we have received in the proper way. In a general conference address titled, Be Not Deceived, President Dallin H. Oaks taught us the importance of avoiding deception as we make critical decisions in our lives. He stated, to avoid being deceived, we must always follow the promptings of that Spirit, meaning the Holy Ghost. The Lord taught this principle in the 46th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. Wherefore, beware lest ye are deceived, and that ye may not be deceived, seek ye earnestly the best gifts, always remembering for what they are given. Let me share with you an observation from the Scriptures that supports the importance of having the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost in our lives. After appearing to the Nephites, Jesus Christ taught them one of the most important principles, how to pray. He gave this instruction in 3 Nephi 18:18 through 20. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. By the way, 2,000 years later, how are we taught to pray? We are taught to pray in the same way, to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Continuing the quote, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. After being taught by Jesus the proper way to pray, the Nephites acted upon those teachings by praying for that which was right and what was most important to them. They could have prayed for anything, but what was most important to them? Quote, and they did pray for that which they most desired, and they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. What a fitting example of the importance of the Holy Ghost to those who were just taught by the Savior. So, was their prayer answered? Yes. But what did they need to do to receive the Holy Ghost? They first needed to be baptized and confirmed. Quote, and it came to pass, when they were all baptized and come out of the water, the Holy Ghost did fall upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus observed all of this transpired. He observed their prayers and the righteous desires of their hearts. He observed their baptisms, and he observed them being filled with the Holy Ghost. This experience had a significant impact on the Savior. We recognize that Jesus prayed to his Father constantly throughout his life, but very few prayers to his Father were ever recorded. What I'm about to read to you is one of those rare prayers from Jesus to his Father that was recorded, and it illustrates how very important the Holy Ghost is in the eyes of the Savior, and should likewise be very important to us. In 3 Nephi 19:19-20, it states, and it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, and went a little way off from them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. What an incredible illustration of the importance of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Here, all three members of the Godhead are included in his prayer. Jesus praying to his Father, thanking him for the Holy Ghost. I would like to share a few more examples that illustrate the importance of the Holy Ghost in our lives as we strive to make decisions that will keep us on the covenant path. Here is one from church history. In November of 1839, Joseph Smith, along with Sidney Rigdon and Elias Higbee, traveled to Washington to meet with President Martin Van Buren in the White House. Joseph Smith visited President Van Buren to seek federal assistance for the losses they suffered in Missouri, but Van Buren explained that intervening would alienate the vote in Missouri. Van Buren's famous response was, Gentlemen, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. If I take up for you, I shall lose the vote in Missouri. During that interview, President Van Buren asked Joseph Smith an interesting question. The following was recorded in the history of the church. In our interview with the president, he interrogated us wherein we differ in our religion from the other religions of the day. Brother Joseph said, We differ in mode of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. We considered that all other considerations were contained in the gift of the Holy Ghost. This represents another illustration of how important the gift of the Holy Ghost is to all of us. The prophet Joseph Smith responded to the President of the United States by explaining what set our religion apart from all others, emphasizing the central role of the gift of the Holy Ghost. President Russell M. Nelson supports Joseph Smith's answer to Martin Van Buren through another statement he made during his General Conference address in April 2018. He said, Pray in the name of Jesus Christ about your concerns, your fears, your weaknesses, yes, the very longings of your heart. And then listen. Write the thoughts that come to your mind. Record your feelings and follow through with actions that you are prompted to take. As you repeat this process day after day, month after month, year after year, you will grow into the principle of revelation. President Thomas S. Monson shared an experience he had when he was a 22-year-old bishop. It illustrates the positive spiritual impact we can have when we are worthy of the Holy Ghost and sensitive to his promptings, and then have the courage to act upon those promptings. He shares this story. Quote, I noted one Sunday morning that Richard, one of the priests who seldom attended, was again missing from priesthood meeting. I left the quorum in the care of the advisor and visited Richard's home. His mother said he was working at the local garage servicing automobiles. I drove to the garage in search of Richard and looked everywhere but could not find him. Suddenly, I had the inspiration to gaze down into the old-fashioned grease pit situated at the side of the building. From the darkness, I could see two shining eyes. I heard Richard say, You found me, Bishop. I'll come up. As Richard and I visited, I told him how much we missed him and needed him. I elicited a comment from him to attend his meetings. His activity improved dramatically. He and his family eventually moved away, but 2 years later, I received an invitation to speak at Richard's ward before he left on a mission. In his remarks that day, Richard said that the turning point in his life was when his bishop found him hiding in a grease pit and helped him return to activity. This inspiring story of acting on inspiration does not end here. Several years ago, when I was presiding at a state conference here in Utah, I was addressing the priesthood leadership session of state conference when I was prompted to share this same story about President Monson and Richard. After sharing the story, a brother in the congregation raised his hand, and I called upon him. He said, Elder Maines, would you like to hear the rest of the story? A little bit surprised, I responded, sure. The brother who raised his hand was named Alfonso Ramirez. He went on to tell the congregation that Richard's last name was Castro, and he was called to serve in northern Mexico on his mission. While in his mission, he filled a valiant and successful mission. In fact, he taught the gospel to Alfonso and his many siblings. As I recall, he said, most of us of baptismal age joined the church. Due to Elder Richard Castro's efforts, the Ramirez family subsequently had many in their family go on missions. Several bishops called, many others served in stake callings and as temple workers, and many, many others have had the opportunity in varied capacities to serve in the church over the years. Concluding his remarks, Alfonso shared the fact that Elder Castro baptized many other families, not just his family, while serving his mission in Mexico. Brothers and sisters, this is a great illustration of the power that exists in being worthy of and sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, and then having the courage to act upon those promptings. Just think about the downstream effects on other people's lives when we make inspired choices. Another example of making inspired choices that illustrates powerful positive results comes from my daughter, Christina. She and her young family had just moved to Eastern Washington. This is her story in her own words. The first week we moved in, the bishop came over for a get-to-know-you visit. The next Sunday, I caught him in the hallway at church and asked him if I could have a temple recommend interview because my recommend was about to expire. Following the interview later that day, he called and wanted to visit with me about a new calling. When he arrived, he said that the previous time he had been over to visit, he felt the Spirit strongly in our home and had the impression that I was to be the next primary president. When he went back and told his counselors, they thought he was kind of crazy since I had just moved in. But he said the impression was strong. They had been thinking about a new president for a while. When he extended the call, I was shocked because I didn't know anyone. He handed me a ward list of names of people I had never met before and said, I know you'll know who to pick for your presidency if you pray about it. I just stared at that list and prayed for 4 days straight. As I prayed about the list got smaller until there were about six people on it. I was not quite sure about the sister I was thinking about to be my secretary, so I decided to pray specifically about her first. I prayed that night to know if she should be my secretary. The next morning, she called me and invited me and my kids to a splash park. We spent most of the day together talking, and as we talked, I felt strongly that she should be the secretary. I went home and prayed about it again, and it was confirmed to me that that was true. That night, I went down my list and decided to pray about a sister that could be one of my counselors. The next morning, she called me up and invited me and my kids to go with her family to the movies and then out for ice cream. Throughout the time I was with her, I had a prayer in my heart that I would know if she was to be a counselor. The impression came to me that, yes, she should be one of my counselors. I felt inspired that that was the right fit. I then moved on to the next decision, my last counselor. I had been contemplating a few people for this position. I had been worried about one of them because she was already serving in the Relief Society, and I was not sure I should request her to come into the primary presidency. So I called the bishop and asked him several questions about people I had been thinking about. Again, I knew none of them at all. He answered my questions. The next day, I ran into the sister that I was seriously considering for my other counselor. I had been worried about her already serving in the Relief Society. As we talked, I had it confirmed in my mind that she really did need to be in the primary. I went back home and prayed about her and asked Heavenly Father if it was His will that each of these sisters be called to those respective positions and that I would feel strongly that it was right. I did feel strongly and felt extreme peace and began to cry as I knelt praying. I knew they were each the ones that needed to be in the presidency at that time. When I called the bishop back with the names I had chosen, he was amazed. He said that when they were thinking of a new president for the primary, he had written four names on the chalkboard during a bishopric meeting. The four names they had written on the chalkboard were my name and the exact same three names I had chosen without knowing any of them. My testimony of the power of personal revelation was really strengthened that day. I knew that Heavenly Father had communicated with me who he wanted to have serving the primary children at that time. It turned out to be a perfect fit with the different personalities, and we all meshed well together. This was a huge testimony builder to me that if we seek the Lord's will, he will manifest it unto us. We need not go any further than Sunday to illustrate our final example of the importance of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Brothers and sisters, what should be the highlight of our week? Should it be the Sabbath day? If it is, what should be the highlight of the Sabbath day? Should it be sacrament meeting? If it is, what should be the highlight of sacrament meeting? Wouldn't it be the sacrament itself? Why is the sacrament so important? It gives us the opportunity to remember the great sacrifices Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf. It gives us an opportunity to worship and express our gratitude for him in our minds and in our hearts. And of course, it gives us the opportunity to renew the covenants we have made with him and Heavenly Father in the waters of baptism and in his holy house, the temple. When is it during the sacrament that you renew your covenants? Let us remember some of the words of the sacrament prayer to answer that question. In Doctrine and Covenants 20:77, we read that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them. For me, this is when we renew our covenants. We covenant to take upon ourselves the name of the Son. We covenant to always remember him. And we covenant to keep his commandments which he has given us. What a beautiful and powerful experience we enjoy each week. Now comes the great example of the importance of the Holy Ghost in our lives. After making these three promises, what comes next? The last line in verse 77 reads, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. The great blessing that we receive each week when we renew our covenants with the Lord is that he in turn blesses us with the promise that his Spirit will be with us. When he says his Spirit will be with us, what Spirit is he talking about? Many times in our prayers, we use the language, please bless us that thy Spirit will be with us. So what does thy Spirit or his Spirit mean? The answer to that question is found in Doctrine and Covenants 121, verse 26. Quote, God shall give unto you knowledge by his Holy Spirit, yea, by the unspeakable gift of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, is the unspeakable gift of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, in our weekly sacrament prayers, we are promised that the Holy Ghost can always be with us. This means when we approach forks in the road and are obligated to make a decision, if we are worthy of and sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, and have the courage to act upon that inspiration, we will choose the correct fork in the road. We will stay on the covenant path, and these celestial choices you make, especially in your youth, will be fundamental to your success and happiness in this mortal life. Brothers and sisters, if you take full advantage of this great gift of the Holy Ghost, which your loving Heavenly Father has bestowed upon you, I promise you that you will succeed in your life's journey, you will stay on the covenant path, and you will be worthy of eternal life in the world to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
You've been listening to Finding Center. Join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Mountain, 1 o'clock Eastern Time for a half hour of inspiration and recentering. Today we heard Making and Acting Upon Inspired Decisions by Elder Richard Maines. Find a link to the full text, audio, and video of this address at byuradio.org/findingcenter. Finding Center is a production of BYU Broadcasting.